All right, if we can get everybody's attention, we're beginning our service this morning a little bit differently than normal, but we're including some of the normal things that we do. And so we have an instrumentalist that's going to play. Livy Ferris is going to play, so listen as she plays this morning, Silent Night. Thank you.
Why don't y'all stand as we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory? That's hymn 94. Ms. Pat?
Angels from the realms of glory. angels from the realms of glory, when you're flying o'er all the earth, ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen the infant star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Thank you. Ready?
Thank you. meek and mild, to change the world, this holy child. A babe so fair, a gift foretold, the promise sealed, we now behold. With saving grace and quiet might, his glory rests this silent night. From the creation of the world, God loved us. In the warmth of a sunrise, in the rainbow after a storm, through signs and wonders, promises and dreams. He showed his love through the law, through judges and prophets and kings, through floods, famines, furnaces, and fish. He parted the waters, led nations to new lands, closed the mouth of lions, and rained down fire from heaven. But in all that he had done, we still did not understand the great mystery of his love. So he did something we never imagined. He grew silent. But in the silence, he was preparing us. The world awakened to the very presence of God. On a quiet night in Bethlehem, the earth shook with a heavenly host, announcing the good news that would change the course of eternity. God's only Son, perfect and holy, would come down to dwell among us. But how would he come? A brave warrior like Joshua? A triumphant king like David? A bold prophet like Elijah? No, in God's infinite kindness, he chose a humble baby, our infant God, here with us. This is the mystery of Christmas. And now our hearts are bursting with joy, like the star that scattered its light across the night sky. Our voices ring out in praise. We join with the angels and sing.
Glory.
this divine gift of God, asleep on the hay, has come. A gift of love for you and for me. What a glorious mystery.
Amen. Kids did an awesome job, didn't they? Praise the Lord. We still have one more song that we're going to do in a little bit, but I wanted to share with you the Christmas message that I wanted to share this morning. Our theme for our musical this year is a journey of joy, or a season of joy. And as I want to direct your attention in your Bibles to Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 down through verse 12. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 down through verse 12. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll read verse 1 and verse 2 to begin with. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word this morning, and I pray that every song we have sung, the songs the kids have sung, the instrumentalists that was played, Father, I just pray that you would use all of it to bring glory to your name, Lord, to touch people's hearts, who those who are saved would be encouraged to share the gospel like never before, and Father, for those who have never trusted by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, that today would be a day of salvation for them. So bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And I promise I won't be long. There's a trap door below me, and Ben will pull the switch. So we joke with him about that a lot. All right. You know, Christmas is meant to be a season of joy. You know, for many, it's one of the most anticipated times of the year. It's a season filled with lights and music and family gatherings and traditions, all of which warm our hearts. It's a time when we celebrate the birth of our Savior and then stand on the threshold of a new year filled with hope and expectation. And yet, if we're honest, Christmas can also be one of the most stressful seasons of the year, especially for adults. For some, it's marked by loneliness or grief because somebody they love is missing. For others, it's a blue Christmas overshadowed by sorrow or maybe financial pressures or exhaustion. And even at its best, Christmas often means crowded schedules and long lines and expensive gifts and elaborate meals and extended travel and guests to host. And instead of joy, frustration can quietly take its place. But there's a truth that we desperately need to remember. To remember that Christmas is not about pressure, it's about a person. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. As John 3:16 declares to us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And yet so many people leave Christ out of Christmas. And instead of looking to Jesus for joy, they look everywhere else. People pursue happiness through possessions and entertainment and relationships and achievements and hobbies and even addictions and so many other things. Others search deep within themselves, hoping to find peace there inside themselves. It's interesting that while happiness seems to be the chief pursuit of our modern life, the Bible rarely speaks about happiness as we talk about happiness. It speaks a lot, though, about joy. Happiness depends on the circumstances. You can be happy one day and sad the next, but there's a joy in your heart that can go through the valleys of life and through the mountaintops of life. So joy is different. Joy is an inner sense of well-being rooted in a right relationship with God, and it doesn't depend on the circumstances you're going through. That's why somebody who is a Christian who may have a terminal illness, maybe even lying on their deathbed, could have such joy in their hearts because they know where they're going, that this life is not all that there is. The joy that we're talking about from the Scriptures flows from the presence of Christ. And that's why the opening line of Isaac Watts' great hymn captures the heart of Christmas so perfectly when he says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." There's one reason, and only one reason, that true joy can exist in this world. It's because the Lord has come. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, he provides the joy that your soul was created to experience. Just like your body craves for food and rest and exercise, your spirit craves that relationship with God. Without it, your soul becomes restless and starved. There's a God-shaped void in every person's heart, and nothing can fill that void except him. That's why Isaac Watts was right when he said, "Christmas isn't joy to one nation. Christmas isn't joy to one race. Christmas isn't even joy to one culture or to one class. It is joy to the world." Universal joy, eternal joy. Now, the angel made that clear when we read verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, when the angel said to them, because they were filled with great fear, as verse 9 had told us, verse 10 tells us, the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And that good news is the word from which we get the word evangelism, the announcement of a life-changing truth. And then in verse 11, we find something more remarkable. It's the first time that the Scripture uses the word Savior and Christ and Lord, and they all appear in one verse. And those titles, along with the word baby that we're going to see in verse 12, tell us why Christmas truly is joy to the world. Three things quickly. There's joy in the birth of a son. Verse 8 and verse 9 we've already read. We just read verse 10. But go down to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And this will be a sign for you." This is the message the angel gives to the shepherds. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Did you know that most births go unnoticed by the world? Babies are born every day while the world continues to focus on other things, the stock markets, on wars, on politics, on crisis. But history teaches us that sometimes the greatest events in the world begin quietly in the cradle. 2,000 years ago, one baby was born who would shape the destiny of the entire world. And yet, look at how the angel describes him. The shepherds, they were not told to go and look for a king on a throne or an angel in glory. They were told to look for, in verse 12, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Not in a palace, no servants, no royal bed, just a feeding trough in a stable. And yet this was no ordinary baby. This was God in the flesh. Jesus truly became one of us. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to eat. He had to be fed. He needed to be cleaned. He had to be cared for. And yet where others saw an ordinary baby, Mary looked at him and saw God. One poet wrote this and said, "A baby's hands in Bethlehem were small and softly curled, but held within their dimpled grasp the hope of all the world." Jesus came as one of us so that we would know he understands. When a note of sorrow or pain or grief is struck in our hearts, it resonates in his. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That's joy. There's also joy in the blessing of a Savior. Verse 11 tells us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." In the Old Testament, that title Savior belonged to God alone. Isaiah 43, verse 11 said, I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. That's what God said to the people of Israel. And yet here, that title is given to Jesus. So understand this, you cannot understand Christmas or experience this joy until you understand that Christmas is the coming of a Savior. The name Jesus means the Lord saves, and only sinners need a Savior. And that tells us something about ourselves, because Jesus came because we could not save ourselves. He had to die for our sins. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We were born to live, but Jesus was born to die. And that is why there is joy through his grace. But finally, there is joy in the beauty of a sovereign. You see, the angel didn't stop with the word Savior. He said that this child is also Christ the Lord. The word Lord is the covenant name of God, and it's used hundreds of times in the Scriptures to describe Jehovah himself. And that means that the baby in the manger there is not only our Savior, he is also our rightful king. This baby in the manger is the Lord of the universe. And here's the truth that brings it all together. Jesus is a son that we can relate to him. He's a savior so we can receive him. But he's also Lord, which means we have to surrender to him. True joy is not found in just admiring Jesus or acknowledging his birth. It's found in surrendering our lives to his authority. And so the good news of Christmas is for everyone, in every place, at every time. You see, the greatest joy in the world is found in Jesus Christ alone. It's truly joy to the world. So as we close this part, let me just remind you of something very simple yet powerful. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. The doors were closed, the space was crowded, the Savior of the world was placed in a manger instead. But the truth is, the story does not end in Bethlehem. It continues in every generation. It continues in every heart. You see, the question of Christmas isn't whether Christ has come into this world. The question is whether we've made room for him in our lives. Years ago, during the construction of the great cathedral in Europe, a massive bell was cast to call people to worship. And when it was finished, that bell was raised into the tower and it was rung for the first time. But instead of a clear, joyful sound, that bell produced a dull, broken, bong thud. And after they spent a long time inspecting it, workers found that there was a tiny crack, almost invisible to the eye, that ran through that metal. That small flaw ruined the bell's ability to ring as it was designed. That bell was present, it was in its place, but it could not fulfill its purpose. And in much the same way, God has created us to ring the bell of joy. He created us to echo his glory, to echo his grace and his love. But sin fractures our soul and dulls that sound. And there's no amount of activity, no amount of tradition, no amount of celebration that can fix what only Christ can heal. So when Jesus comes into a life, he restores what is broken. He fills what is empty. And he causes joy to ring out once again, not just at Christmas, but every day of the year. That's why the angel called it good news of great joy. The Lord has come, and he has come for you. So let me say this, is if your heart feels crowded, if your joy feels muted, or if Christ has been pushed, if you will, to the margins of your life, hear the invitation of Christmas once more. Let every heart prepare him room. Because when Jesus is welcomed as Savior and surrendered to his Lord, joy is no longer something we chase. It becomes something we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world and the Lord of our lives. Lord, thank you that in a world filled with noise and pressure and pain, you've given us a joy that cannot be shaken by circumstances. Lord, we confess that too often our hearts become crowded with worries and distractions and misplaced priorities. And so, Lord, today we choose to make room for you. We surrender anew to the Lordship of Christ. And we ask you, Lord, to fill us with a joy that only you can give. Restore, Lord, what is broken. Quiet what is restless. And Lord, let the joy of Jesus Christ ring clearly through our lives. May we leave this place rejoicing, not just in the Christmas season, but in the Savior who has come and reigns forever. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to trust by faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, let them come. Lord, if there are others who need to renew that relationship, let them come. If there are others who need to come and join this fellowship, or maybe just to simply pray at this altar, let them come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand and sing our hymn of invitation with us. If you will, stand. Our Brother Mike's going to come and lead us. Number 312, Softly and Tenderly. You come as the Lord lays on your heart. have one more song that our choir is going to do, but as you came in this morning, some of you received little tea light candles that you can switch the lights on those. So you can go ahead and switch those on. We're going to ask some of our guys back by the light switches to go ahead and turn those off, if you will. If you want to sing, the words will be on the screen if you want to sing this song at any point with us, but we do encourage you to lift those candles. You can stand also if you want at any time, so as the Lord leads you, you do.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. If our kids are still about, would you stand? Let's give our kids a wonderful hand, too, for all they did. And those who led the kids also. Thank you for our choir. Thank you so much.